It's good to be here with you. I was trying to figure out how long I've known this church. And ever since I first came before I even got into Sazra. I came with a guy called Peter Grinham. I don't know if anybody ever remembers him. From Malden Road Chapel. And I think I led the service and he ended up preaching. And then when I became a scripture reader, I started to come there. And that was in 1984. So that's a long time. I've been coming in and out of here since 1984. And the last time I came was a year ago, because I remember that, because people were walking around in shorts and it was summer. And so it was about a year-ish ago. And I thought, well, I'll come and sort of come back, and it's great to be with you all. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're going to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses. I'm going to take it as read that you've read verses 1 and 2. So we're going to actually 1 and 2 and 3. So I'm going to read from verse 4. And my mandate is to actually preach on verses 4 through to 6. And it's called Men of Faith. Men of faith alone. I'll put men of faith, but I'll also put women of faith there as well. Because when the Bible talks about men, it talks about, you know, mankind or menkind. In other words, the whole lot of us, you know, human beings. So let's look at verses 4 through to, and I'll read through to 7 because that puts it into context. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Though through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things yet not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Hallelujah. A wonderful portion of scripture. Amen. Faith. I'll say faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You can't see it, but you believe it. Yeah? Blessed are those that have not seen, Jesus Christ said to Thomas, yet believe. See, because if you were looking at faith and you could see something, you don't need faith, do you? Yeah, it's true, isn't it? If you can see it, then you don't need faith. Faith is hoping for something that you know is true, but you don't see it yet. And it's true, isn't it? When we come to Christ, we need faith, don't we? You know? Before I left Sazra, I talked to a para. Paras are strange guys. They jump out of aeroplanes when they know it's going to land. Yeah? Anyway, so I remember talking to this para, and I'll get on to my sermon in a minute too. But this para actually says, "Oh, don't believe in faith, mate." I said, "Oh, really? Oh, that's good. That's nice to know." She says, "I don't believe in faith." I said, "Well, all I want to ask you, the question is, who's packing your parachute?" And he said, "Well, I don't know." "Okay. So you're going to jump out of your aeroplane at 5,000 feet. And you haven't got a clue who's packed your parachute. I'd like to meet another man of faith. If that ain't faith, I don't know what is, you know. Jump out of an airplane, 5,000 feet, you haven't got a clue who's packed your parachute, you don't even know if it's going to open. Oh, yeah, that's a man of faith." He said, "Well, I suppose that's true then, isn't it?" Yeah. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I'll ask you the question at the end as well. Who's packing your parachute? Who's packing your parachute? Think about that as I preach. The writer is appealing for people to live in faith. And so he's going to unpack all these people, all these heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And I have the joy of talking about two of them this morning. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about Abel. And the first thing I'm going to be talking about Abel, he founded a sacrificial system. Yeah. Abel founded a sacrificial system. Right. And then Enoch demonstrated God's power over death. And then the third and final thing I'm going to do is say how to be well-pleasing to God. Okay? It'll all come to you in a few moments when I saw about this. Verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered a greater sacrifice than Cain. Abel, I believe, got the idea of being righteous before, by blood sacrifice from God himself. If we go back to the garden and we see that God had to clothe Adam and Eve with what? Animal skins. And how do you get animal skins other than what? You have to kill them. And this was the first time that God actually sacrificed an animal to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. He covered them. Now, there's debates about that, but that's basically it. And then Abel comes along. And he's the looker after a sheep and everything else. And he's the guy that's the shepherd. And he brings a sacrifice to God. Cain, his brother, is a farmer. He's a guy that just grows vegetables and grows fruit and so on and so forth. He doesn't do a lot other than tilling the ground and everything else. And he brought that because he's worked at it and he's brought it to God. And Abel comes along and he says, hey, this is a lamb. And I'm just going to sacrifice it to you, God. And he's put it on an altar and he sacrificed this lamb. And God said, I love that sacrifice because you understood without the remission of sin, without the blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no remission of sins. You have to be covered by the blood in the Old Testament. There's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which we'll go into in a minute. So Abel actually sort of said, God said to Abel, this is better than Cain's. And Cain murdered Abel. There's a law in theology and doctrine and various things that when you come to preach various things, you look for the law of first mention. Anybody heard of that? When you look at the Bible, you look at the law of first mention. And the first mention of a sacrifice being offered on an altar was what we've just been talking about. Yeah? God wanted that to happen. And then the amazing thing is, Abel then sort of founded a sacrificial system because he obeyed God. And it got into the Mosaic law. The patriarchs before that actually sacrificed. Even Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. That was a foreshadow. I'm a bit strange this way. I look at foreshadows as well. You know, old-fashioned I am, but hey, foreshadow. And that talked about Jesus Christ, the son that was going to be sacrificed. So Abel founded it. The patriarchs carried it on. Moses brought it into the Mosaic law. Yeah? all the way through. Sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. But it could only do one thing, and only one thing only. It could only cover a person's sin. Does that make sense? It could only cover a person's sin. And it was following on and following on and following on. And then we got to the New Testament. Whoa! And then something happened on that first Easter, on that first Good Friday. What was it, you tell me? Yeah, there was a sacrifice once and once only, not to cover our sin, but to wash it away. Whoa! Are you getting excited? Or am I the only one? That's exciting when you think about it. I no longer actually need to have another sacrifice. It was done once and once only. And Abel foreshadowed it by faith. He still speaks today by faith. Understand that, folks? By faith. God said to Abel, well done. And he entered his rest. You could say he received the reward of his faith. He still speaks today. He's left a legacy. Yeah? We need to trust Jesus to become our Savior, to wash away our sins. Our sins separate us from God. Is that right? Doesn't matter who you are. You can be the nicest person in the world. Yeah? You can have the nicest, broadest smile in the world. But God looks on your heart and he knows.
Amen, he does.
Amen. And he does. But God says, I can give you a new heart. Just trust me. And he'll wash away your sins. Because that's what he did on the cross. By sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is, it goes on to the next thing. Enoch. I like Enoch. Yeah, he's still alive. We'll see him again. We'll also see Abel. Enoch demonstrated God's power over death. Verses 5 and 6 says, by faith Enoch was taken up. This is a paraphrase. By faith God was taken up so that he did not see death, and he was not to be found because God took him up. For before his removal, he had been commended as having pleased God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. It seems our writer is not only following an Old Testament sequence here. Here, we have some logic in the topics, folks. Now, I need to go back to the first few verses. Faith, first of all, there's a faith in the creation and the creator. Verse 3. Secondly, there's a faith in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 4. Yeah? Then, faith in God's power over death. Verses 5 and 6. We see a persistent faith in Enoch. He was persistent. He walked with God. He sought him. He diligently sought him. Now, diligently is a lovely word. You can leave it with passion. I love that song this morning. I want a passion for God. How many want passion for God? I want a passion for God. I want a passion to seek him more passionately. Passionately, diligently. Earnestly is another word. A lovely word, isn't it? It's an old-fashioned word. It means passionately. With all my heart, I'm seeking him. And that's what Enoch was doing. He was seeking him with all his heart, with all his very being. He lived his whole life seeking God, walking with God, communion with God. Yeah? And eventually he walked so far away from his own home that God said, hey, you might as well carry on coming. You think about it. He walked with God, and God took him. His faith was seen of a power over death. Folks, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gives us power over death. all of us here, if the Lord tarries, will eventually kick the bucket. It's true, isn't it? I mean, let's face it. I'm sorry if that offends you, but you will. And if you feel that you're really young and it's not going to happen, forget that one. Eventually, every one of us dies. And you can either die with Christ or you can die without Christ. And have the consequences of that. It's called hell. And I hate talking about hell. I'd rather talk about heaven. Christ shed his blood that we can actually diligently seek God. We can walk with God in faith. We can walk with God in faith for the rest of our lives. And then we go to heaven because he takes us to be with him. Yeah. If we hang on and hang on until he comes, we will be taken up. Hallelujah. And we won't see death. But we will see death if he doesn't come. But we will live forever. Yeah. God gives us eternal life. Hallelujah. Everybody knows John 3:16. I hope you do. We will not see death in the sense that we will live on forever and ever and ever. I passionately believe that. And thirdly, and you'll be glad to know, finally, that's a really lovely one word, isn't it? Finally. We've had passionately, we've had diligently, now we've got finally. And you're all going, phew. Finally, which will go on for about 5 sub-points that I've got. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Finally, how to be well-pleasing to God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Diligently seek him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells, and verse 9 tells us, we make it our ambition, Paul says, to be well-pleasing to God. We make it our aim to be well-pleasing to God. We make it our goal to be well-pleasing. What's your goal in your life? What's your ambition in your life? To make as much money as you like and then retire and I'll have a lovely time. I'll go to somewhere sunny. I gave up that ambition a long, long time ago. When I went to the Royal Military School of Music, as I said earlier, wow, I had this ambition that I would become the actual director of music for the whole of the British Army. I suddenly realized that I didn't have the brains. And then I came to Christ, and I realized then that, hey, God was taking me in a different direction. What direction have you been in, and what direction is the Lord taking you? I've spent since 1984, since I was 30 years old, and Pauline and I have spent together doing the Lord's work in various places. 22 years with Sazra, 10 years of that, 22 years, we went in and out of Africa, and we did some amazing things out in Africa. We saw some amazing things by faith. We saw people getting healed. We got people actually on the verge of death being raised again. We've seen all that stuff by faith. God is exciting. Yeah? I love God. God just takes us to various places. He takes us to exciting places. He takes us into the mundane as well. Yeah, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Come on, think about it. It's hard being a Christian. Yeah. It's not all wonderful all the time. It's jolly hard work. Welcome to the human race. We're not exempt everything, but God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live for him. And he leads us into places that are amazing. And we live by faith, not by sight. So if you really want to please God, then you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith, first of all, to get saved. And the amazing thing is, God, in his infinite wisdom, says, you don't have enough faith to actually get saved, so I'll give you some. Boom. Here's a bunch of faith so you can live and you can actually come to me. Yeah? How many of you realize that? You probably didn't realize when you came to Christ that God was actually giving you the faith to actually come. But actually, there was. He was doing that for you. And then he says, hey, now you know I exist. Now you know I can come into your life. Hey, live by faith. You know what it says in the Bible? It says the faith of the seed of a mustard seed. Yeah? Is that something like that? Yeah? You remember that bit? It's in Matthew's gospel somewhere. And it's there. And this is, I haven't got this down in my notes. But the fact is this, the seed is a tiny little seed, isn't it? And somebody was preaching this at our church years ago, and I won't tell you her name because she's here. And she actually sort of said, you know, it's not a little amount of faith that moves the mountains. It's the potential that is in this seed. It's the potential that is in the seed. The potential in the seed of faith actually can grow a huge plant. Yeah? The potential in that small amount of faith that is in your life that God has given you can actually, wow, explode into some amazing stuff. Yeah? You go with that? Amen? You can say hallelujah now. If I was in Africa, I would be jumping up and down. Yeah. But I'm not, so I won't. Yeah. That's that faith. And that faith actually is well-pleasing to God. So do you want to be well-pleasing to God? First of all, you have to ask your question. We'll go back to that question I asked. Who's packing your parachute? When you jump out of the aeroplane of life, who's packing your parachute? Have you packed it? Or are you relying on God? Are you relying on Jesus Christ? Are you relying on his finished work? And if you've relied on his finished work, then you can jump out of any aeroplane of life that you go into, because you have that faith. Yeah? Men of faith, rise up and sing to the great and glorious King. We are strong when we are weak. Yeah, he is strong when we are weak. That's the words I was looking for. He is strong when we are weak. In our brokenness, we are complete. Amen? I can't remember the rest of the verses. Sing to the north and the south and so on. But the fact is, you know, hey, if we are men and women of faith, then we will actually stand up and step out and say, yes, the Lord has packed my parachute. Yes, I'm going to rely on him. Yes, I'm going out in my faith in him. Where are you this morning? If you've never got to this point in your life, the evangelist in me speaking now. If you've never got to that point in your life and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never repented of your sins, you've never actually turned around and said, Lord, you take over because I can't do it. I want to step out in faith. I now know who's going to pack my parachute. I'm going to step out in faith. Then you can come to Christ this morning. I will be overjoyed to pray with you. And if you don't want me to pray with you, pick somebody, one of the elders, one of the worship group leaders. Somebody will actually lead you to Christ. That will be wonderful. And if you've done that and you wonder, and that's fantastic, but you're actually saying, what next? What next? Where do I go next? What do I do next? What's the direction? Well, actually, what you do is that you carry on walking in faith. And we'll pray for you to do that. Okay? I know I'm probably stepping on toes here. But there, I saw people with lanyards and little sort of, what's in them, saying prayer team. So go in somewhere with a prayer team and say, look, I need to be prayed for. If you want me to pray for you, I would be more than willing to do that. And, you know, step out. Pauline and I are going to be stepping out in faith. We've been stepping out in faith for years now. And we're going to be stepping out into faith, into areas that we probably are thinking, well, what are you doing? We got to this point in our lives where 60... 60... yeah. Some of you will say, well, that's young. Some of you will say, he's ancient, you know. But the fact is, we're stepping out again in faith. And we're seeking the Lord to where he wants us to be. We've got a house in Uganda. We'll probably go and see if it's still standing. And various other things, but we're stepping out in faith. You never know, you might see us more. You never know that. But we're stepping out in faith. Are you stepping out in faith? Again, who's packing your parachute? Hallelujah. The Lord will bless you. Amen. Let me pray for you as the worship group comes up and they do whatever they're going to do. And let me just pray for you. Oh, let's just let's stand in the presence of the Lord, shall we? For a few moments. Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, a real sense of you speaking into their hearts. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, if they've never got to that point in their lives, that they've never actually sort of said, yes, Lord, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to trust you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would lay on people's hearts and lives, Lord, that they will trust you, Lord. They will come to a knowledge of you, Lord, and you will bless them abundantly. Bring them into salvation, Lord, this morning. Bring them to the beginning of the rest of their lives, Lord. Lord, I pray for others here, Lord, that are not sure. They're not sure where they're going. They're not sure what's next. Lord, help them to walk by faith and not by sight. Give them the faith to do that, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Anoint them so they'll know the direction that you're leading them, Lord, even if it's just for tomorrow, Lord, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Little by little, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you'll start them on this walk of faith that is going to be amazing for them. Lord, I pray for this fellowship, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the socks of people here in Jesus' name. Amen.